Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley here with you on this Tuesday morning. Kitty Adams alongside as well. Joe Rex Road down in Florida. He'll be handling interviews for the Vols and Clemson Tigers coming up for the next hour. He'll be back on the program at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to his report from Florida. Right now we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Caroline Fenton from Stillman & Company. Caroline, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are y'all?
We are awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So a lot to get to with you. We'll get into the college football playoff matchups taking place a little bit later this week. Get your thoughts on Tennessee and Clemson as well. But we begin with the Titans, Caroline. Obviously, another ugly loss on Saturday. They've lost five in a row, this time to the hands of the lowly Houston Texans. And right now, this offense is just brutal. Everything about it, brutal right now, other than Derrick Henry and the running game. What are your thoughts on just the collapse that we've seen from the Titans, going from 7-3 to 7-8 to get to this point, and what do you expect for that winner-take-all game down in Jacksonville for the AFC South coming up next week?
I mean, it's hard to think about anything other than what a freaking massive collapse of epic proportions. And I can't look at the firing of John Robinson and say that that had nothing to do with it. Because you look at what happened before John Robinson got fired. You know, you lose a very close game against a good Cincinnati Bengals team. And that was a close game. That was a hard-fought game. It really could have gone either way. And then you lose a game to a Philadelphia Eagles team that's just better than you. A Philadelphia Eagles team that's the best team in the league. So those, I looked at those two losses back-to-back, and I thought, you know what? The Titans need to get back on track. It didn't look great, but, you know, this is a team that absolutely still has control of the division. And then John Robinson gets fired, and everything has gone downhill from there. And I'm not saying that these players on, you know, Saturday against the Texans were thinking about John Robinson, were so distracted thinking about how difficult of a time this must be for his family, so on and so forth. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I think that sent a shockwave through this organization, and this team just hasn't looked the same since. So how do I feel about this winner-take-all game in Jacksonville? I mean, I look at it like all of the momentum is on Jacksonville's side. I look at it like ever since Jacksonville beat this Titans team a couple weeks ago, they've looked great. I mean, they have looked like that is exactly what that team needed to unlock something late in the season. And the Titans have just gone downhill ever since that game. So, I mean, I look at it like I'll take the hot team. I'll take the team that's looked better the past 2 weeks. I'll take the team that has all the momentum on their side. And I hate to say that. And I hate to say that the Titans are going to give up this massive lead on the division. But looking at these two teams right now, I don't know how I can think anything otherwise.
Well, Caroline, big picture with the Titans, and this is kind of a discussion that on our text line keeps going back and forth with people feeling, you know, a bunch of different ways about it. But looking at the big picture of this group, is it time for the Titans to tear it down and rebuild? Do you have one more kick at the can with Tannehill at quarterback and Henry at running back, and you run it back with those guys next year? Like, what's your thoughts on kind of where the Titans go from here? Obviously, we know that they've got to hire a general manager, and we don't know who that's going to be yet, but what's your thoughts on exactly what the Titans should do once this offseason arrives?
Yeah, I said this on Stillman & Company on Thursday. I think you run it back with Tannehill for one more year in 2023 because you have a couple of options, right? You can draft a quarterback, which the Titans aren't going to have good enough draft position to do. So let's throw that out. You could start Malik Willis in 2023. And I don't really see how that is the best opportunity for this Titans. The best thing for this Titans team in 2023 is because you still have good pieces. You're going to re-sign Jeffrey Simmons in the offseason. You're going to have Derrick Henry on your team in 2023, albeit maybe not 2020 Derrick Henry. It's Derrick Henry with a few steps taken back since those years, but it's still Derrick Henry nonetheless. So I think we have all seen on full display on Saturday and also even before that in the season that Malik Willis just is not ready to be a starting quarterback in this league. And I think that if you start Malik Willis, in 2023, he is your starting quarterback. That is sending a message to the rest of the team that, hey, we really don't care about winning very many games. So I would run it back with Ryan Tannehill in 2023, understanding what your ceiling and what your floor is with Tannehill. And I think we all really know what it is with Tannehill. He's not going to win you a Super Bowl single-handedly, but he's going to win you enough games that you're going to make the playoffs and you're at least going to be competitive. You're going to keep things interesting. So I say run it back with Ryan Tannehill in 2023, reevaluate after that whether you want to trade a bunch of picks to trade up in the draft for a quarterback in the 2024 draft, or whether that's trade a bunch of picks for a proven commodity, kind of go the Matthew Stafford, Los Angeles Rams way, whatever it might be. But I say run it back with Tannehill in 2023 and then go from there.
Caroline Fenton with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Caroline, Tennessee taking on Clemson coming up on Friday in the Orange Bowl. What do you think of that matchup, and what sort of an opportunity is this for this Tennessee team against that program that's done a whole lot of winning and has had a whole lot of success over the past decade? What sort of an opportunity is this for the Vols coming up on Friday?
Yeah, it's truly the orangest Orange Bowl that has ever Orange Bowled. I'm really excited for this opportunity for Tennessee because I don't think that this is the Clemson team that we know from 2016, you know, the national championship Clemson team. But this Clemson team still has the reputation of being a really good team. So I would say that more so than the Vols being able to prove themselves in a New Year's Six Bowl on a national stage against a team that has a really good reputation and a really good culture, I would say more than anything, this is an opportunity for Joe Milton. Because this is an opportunity for Joe Milton to show off what he can do. This is, he's call it, you know, his tryout, his audition to be the starter in 2023. I would say this is the biggest opportunity for him to kind of shake any reputation that he may have as, you know, Joe Milton overthrows, as Joe Milton can't be the starter, as being the quarterback that lost the starting job to Hendon Hooker, a quarterback who took this program to levels that I didn't think that they could reach this soon in the Josh Heupel era. I think this is an opportunity for Joe Milton to prove himself. And maybe this is also an opportunity for Joe Milton to prove, hey, he's still the quarterback that lost his job, and for a good reason. He's still a quarterback that doesn't have what it takes to truly, you know, bring this Tennessee team back to the level and even to the next level they have in 2022 next year. But I think that more than this team, more than this program, it is going to be all eyes on Joe Milton, and for good reason.
Well, and then, Caroline, you've got the college football playoff coming up this weekend. The semifinals getting underway. Georgia taking on Ohio State, TCU and Michigan. Let's just start with Georgia and Ohio State. How much of a game do you think this Ohio State team, and specifically C.J. Stroud and this offense, can give Georgia coming up on Saturday?
I am not a believer in this Ohio State team, and maybe that is short-sighted of me. Maybe I'm incredibly incorrect, and this is going to be an interesting game against Georgia. But I look at Ohio State, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I'm not, you know, studying Ohio State. I'm not watching every single game, you know, and writing notes. But sure. I look at Ohio State. I watched that Ohio State-Purdue game, and I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed with C.J. Stroud, and I wasn't impressed with this team. And then I look at the Ohio State-Michigan game, the biggest game on Ohio State's schedule, and the best opportunity for Ohio State to prove to people that, hey, you know, we can only play who's on our schedule, but the biggest game against our biggest rival on our home turf, we can really prove what we've got. And they got blown out by Michigan. So I think C.J. Stroud is a good quarterback, but I don't really necessarily believe in this Ohio State team to go further than that. And I think that we've all seen on multiple occasions just how freaking good Georgia really is. I mean, Georgia is not a team that I think turned it on every week. We saw that against Kent State, saw it against Missouri. I mean, Georgia have had their fair share of fumbles this year, but to me, Georgia is a team that has proven that on the big stages, against Tennessee on the biggest game of the year, against LSU in the SEC championship, and I think, again, against Ohio State this weekend, they're a team that proves that they are the best team in the country, and they can really turn it on the biggest stages when it really matters. So I think Georgia wins handedly, and I think they continue to roll. They continue the theme that they've proven all season long, that they can beat some of the top teams in the country, and they can do it handedly.
Well, and then the other matchup, Caroline, TCU and Michigan. Obviously, Michigan undefeated out of the Big Ten. You got Max Duggan and TCU trying to keep up with Michigan in that game. Obviously, Michigan's the favorite. What sort of a chance do you give TCU to hang around and maybe ultimately pull off the upset this weekend?
Yeah, I kind of go with the same kind of idea as the Georgia-Ohio State game. I think that this is going to be a game where Michigan absolutely rolls. And I'll use the same argument that I used for Ohio State, that, hey, this is the biggest game, Ohio State-Michigan, the biggest game on your schedule, one of the biggest rivalries in college football. So it's, you know, the biggest game of the year that you can really prove how good you truly are. And I think Michigan proved that against Ohio State.
Yes.
And Michigan is a team that I think silently all season long leading up to that Ohio State game was really, really, really good. But we all looked at it like, okay, we'll do it against a good team and then we'll believe you. And they did it against Ohio State. They did it handedly. And we're all like, okay, yep, Michigan's pretty legit. And I think that they, doing it without Blake Corum also proved that, hey, without one of our top players, without one of our, you know, players who the offense runs through, we can still beat really good teams. So I think Michigan is going to be able to win handedly. I think it'll be Georgia and Michigan in the national championship, which kind of further proves that we don't really need a 12-team playoff, but we really could be fine with just the top two teams in the country.
Caroline, last thing for you. How excited are you about the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl coming up next week between LSU and Purdue? I know you've got this one circled.
Yeah, you know what I say, Robbie? Why play in the national title game when you can play in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl?
That's a great question.
Really kind of just gets me going. Love that kind of matchup. The bowl season, baby. No, I'm excited. I mean, I think that this is going to be a really cool opportunity for LSU, you know, going into next year, kind of with a little bit more of a quarterback controversy, how they approach the quarterback position and kind of how we see some of LSU's defensive players on display. You know, three of their defensive linemen already have opted out of the bowl game and are entering the NFL draft. So it's going to be an exciting opportunity to see some of these young guys on display. But really, you know, that's kind of it for me. Excited to see LSU play one more game this season. You know, it's a bowl game nonetheless. But I feel like LSU has played in the Citrus Bowl like 17 times in the past 20 years. So it just kind of feels like home, truly.
Well, the combination of the Cheez-Its and the Citrus Bowl, it really does it for me.
Nothing goes together quite like Cheez-Its and citrus.
Can't wait for that coming up next Monday. Love Caroline, it. Great stuff as always. We appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Appreciate you, Robbie. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Caroline Fenton, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row, joins us every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7:30. All that ahead, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Pick the Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie Stanley here with you alongside Kenny Adams. Joe Rexer will be back on the show at 8 o'clock. He's down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida for Tennessee and Clemson. So media availability is underway, and we'll get an update from Joe coming up at 8 o'clock as the Vols prepare to take on Clemson coming up on Friday. We'll have David Beauclair from SI.com coming up at 7:30 as well. I will say we had Caroline Fenton on in the last segment. And, Kenny, when she was talking about Michigan, I heard you getting a little excited back there. You're feeling good about your Wolverines.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good, But, hey, still got two games to go. So, hey.
How nervous are you for this game against TCU coming up on Saturday?
Okay, so against TCU, like, I really haven't watched them that much, but what I see, like, you know, any game counts. And so you got to bring your A game every single time you bring it. So any game counts, and I'm not going to doubt them any kind of way and say that we're going to blow them out and all that kind of stuff, because if I do that, next thing you know, my team will lose. And so I'm just going to go ahead and just ride this wave. Hope they win, and then we'll deal with Georgia and hope they win. And yeah, that's where I'm at right now. That's my happy
strategy. I like the way you're thinking there. We'll have a little bit more on the college football playoff coming up later this week as well. So I want to get into the Malik Willis discussion a little bit more, because we're getting some thoughts on the text line. Matt from DC has weighed in. Gunner has weighed in on the Malik Willis situation and says, look at who's coaching Malik. He needs someone in the building to develop him, and that's not here. And look, I don't know from a development standpoint how good the Titans are at developing young quarterbacks with this staff. I mean, we've seen Jake Locker roll through here, Vince Young roll through here, Marcus Mariota, all those guys, but nobody's still here from that time. So this staff at developing young quarterbacks, how good are they? I don't know. I mean, Malik Willis is the highest drafted quarterback they've had since Mike Vrabel has taken over as head coach. How good is he and his staff at developing talent? I do think when you watch Malik Willis play, I do think there has been some progress from what we saw in the preseason. I thought in the Chargers game when he came in relief of Tannehill when he was out with the injury, I thought there was more comfortability there. I thought he looked a little bit more decisive with some of his throws than he had previously. You know, there were some times on Saturday against Houston where I thought he looked pretty good and he made some good decisions. There were also some times where I thought he looked pretty bad and didn't make good decisions, wasn't necessarily accurate with the ball. And the thing with me is, like, at some point, like, you got to be able to throw the ball down the field, over the middle of the field with some confidence, with some regularity to you. And it just kind of feels like the Titans are limited when Malik Willis is in there. So, you know, we said this earlier. I don't know that what we've seen from Malik Willis so far is necessarily an indictment on his career and how it's going to play out. He's a young guy. He wasn't supposed to play this year. He was selected in the third round for a reason. When we talked about it last week, there are obviously some traits that he brings to the table that have first round talent written on it. I mean, I've watched him throw some passes this year where you're like, wow, that kid's got a heck of an arm. There was one play, I think it was in the Kansas City game, where he's basically just rolling back and he's being chased and he throws it off his back foot on a rope to the sideline right over the shoulder. Like, it was a play where if you were Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, whoever, like, you couldn't throw the ball any better than Malik Willis threw it on that play. And he'll make some plays like that every now and then where you're like, wow, what a throw from Malik Willis. So obviously the ability is there. He's got some ability to him. But as we know, the quarterback position, it's about so much more than just raw talent. We've seen a lot of guys come in with raw talent that haven't worked in the NFL. So again, I'm not saying Malik Willis can't work here with the Titans. I'm interested to see what the approach is going to be for them this offseason. Do they give him the keys next year and they say, hey man, this is your team, we're going to see what you got? Do they run it back with Ryan Tannehill? I don't know. I don't know who's going to be part of that decision-making process right now. We'll have to wait and see what the new general manager thinks on that. All I'm saying is I watch Malik Willis play right now, and I think he's pretty far away from being a quality NFL starter. And honestly, like, I don't know how you could watch him play so far and come away with really anything different of an opinion. Again, that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't get there, but I don't think it's likely. Like, let's establish this first, and Joe talks about this all the time. In terms of likelihood of quarterbacks working out and being what you want them to be anyway, no, regardless of where they're drafted, the likelihood's pretty small. I mean, we can go up and down the list of first-round picks, number one overall picks, whatever list you want to go down as quarterbacks that haven't worked out in the NFL. So it's unlikely anyway. And now you're talking about a guy that's been selected in the third round and fell in the draft, and the Titans felt like they got him at a place where it could be a pretty good bargain. And we'll see what happens with Malik Willis. But I don't know how you could watch him play right now based on the body of work that we've seen and feel comfortable that he's going to be a good starting NFL quarterback as soon as next year. I get it. There's an offseason. You could make a lot of improvements. And one complaint, one point that's brought up on the text line that I think is beyond fair to bring up is, look what he's working with out there. This receiving core is awful. And we've talked about it all year. They've had some moments where they've looked good. You know, it was good to get Treylon Burks back in there on Saturday, even though he didn't do much in that game. You know, Westbrook Akine's had his moments. Even Robert Woods has had moments this year where he's looked okay. But this receiving core is bad. I mean, it's a bad receiving core. There's no other way to say it. The offensive line is bad, particularly in pass protection and particularly at left tackle with Dennis Daly. We know all these things. So it's not all Malik Willis, his fault, when you start talking about the passing game struggles from what we saw on Saturday against the Texans. the whole picture is bad offensively right now, really outside of Derrick Henry, especially when he's holding on to the football, Derrick Henry. Other than that, there's not much to work with offensively right now. So I get all that. But Malik Willis, I mean, the numbers are what they are. And quite frankly, I think regardless of what you think about Todd Downing, I think the game plan that he and Vrabel have put together when Malik Willis has been the starting quarterback kind of shows you what they think of Malik Willis and where he's at in his development right now. There's a limited amount of things that you can do with Malik Willis being your quarterback. He's not ready. I mean, he's not ready to be out there. And, you know, we'll see how he continues to improve as he moves forward here. I think one thing that is fair to bring up is the offensive coordinator. And we've talked about this a lot with Todd Downing and his future here with the Titans. I don't know what that's going to look like. I've made kind of my stance on this pretty clear. I think if things continue the way that they've gone, you know, barring some miracle playoff run that right now just seems so far out of the realm of possibility that it's almost not worth talking about, barring that happening, I don't really know how you could bring Todd Downing back next year as offensive coordinator. I just don't. I mean, and you can go up and down the list of excuses if you want to, and I think some of them are valid. Injuries certainly have played a part. But the bottom line is Todd Downing has been an offensive coordinator in the National Football League for now 3 seasons, one with the Raiders and now 2 with the Titans. And the offenses haven't been very good. I mean, that's the bottom line. So at some point, the results are what they are, and you have to react accordingly if you're the Titans and if you're Amy Adams Strunk. So I think that's the way that things will go this offseason. But you never know with Mike Vrabel. Like Mike Vrabel, as we talked about last week, they haven't had many opportunities to display this just because, I mean, Arthur Smith got hired away as a head coach. You can't really stop that. The Shane Bowen example was the one you could think of. But even that one's a little bit different than this one with Todd Downing. Bowen was there for 1 year. He wasn't officially the defensive coordinator. We talked about the title and not really giving him that if you're Vrabel. It's not the same situation. And then there's Tim Kelly kind of sitting there in the wings as the passing game coordinator. The Downing situation is different from the Shane Bowen situation. But if things continue to go the way they are right now, I don't know how you could bring Todd Downing back. So if you do go get a new offensive coordinator and you make a good hire, how much could that help Malik Willis? How much can an offseason in the program, continuing to work with Pat O'Hara, the quarterback's coach, how much does that help Malik Willis? It's difficult for me to get to a spot, regardless of the amount of improvement that he makes, where I would feel comfortable about him being the starting quarterback next year if you want to win. And that's the question. How much are the Titans going to want to win next year? Are they trying to tear this roster down? Are they trying to run it back with this group one more time and get to the playoffs? I don't know what the answer is, but the Malik Willis discussion, I think there's some that are taking it a little too far on both extremes. One side of things, not really wanting to blame him for anything, and the other side of things, maybe wanting to blame him for the whole picture that we saw out there on Saturday. And I think like most things when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL, the truth lies somewhere in the middle. And I'm interested to see if he's back out there on Thursday, which I think he will be. Can there be improvement from Saturday to Thursday against the Cowboys defense that if they have their starters, I mean, they're going to wreak havoc on that Titans offensive line. So really interested to see what happens on that front. Coming up next, we'll be joined by David Beauclair from SI.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they prepare for the Dallas Cowboys coming up on Thursday. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Kenny Adams here with you on this Tuesday morning. Joe Rex Road down in Florida handling some duties right now as Tennessee and Clemson prepare to face off in the Orange Bowl coming up on Friday. Joe will be back on the program at 8 o'clock. We'll get a Vols update from him, so looking forward to that. Right now we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend David Beauclair from SI.com. David, good morning. Merry Christmas. How are we doing?
Robert, how are you? I'm doing great.
I'm wonderful. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning. So David, we've had a lot of discussion about the Titans so far this morning. They've lost 5 in a row. They've gone from 7-3 to 7-8, and now are staring down the barrel of a winner-take-all game in Jacksonville coming up in a couple of weeks to decide the division. What's just your 30,000-foot view of this collapse by the Titans, how they've gotten to this point, and what do you think this all means for the direction, the future of this franchise?
Yeah, it's the last part of that's a really good question, particularly since, you know, you're going to have a new GM, you know, coming in, whether it's Ryan Cowden gets to keep the job or somebody comes in from the outside and takes a look at this thing. I think it certainly points to I don't know if it's a complete rebuild, but certainly it makes more sense to sort of tear this thing down a little bit and rather than just try and plug holes. And I think the biggest thing in that effort is probably going to be the quarterback position. I think we haven't seen, I don't think anybody has seen exactly what they want out of Malik Willis yet, but it's certainly easier to address the kind of things that you're going to need to address with this roster if you have a quarterback on a rookie contract as opposed to, Ryan Tannehill, who, you know, this year has the highest salary cap number of any player in the NFL. I think if you rebuild that offensive line, you give Malik Willis more time and comfort in the pocket. You give Derrick Henry a better chance to run the football and take pressure off Malik Willis and all that. I think that's where it's going to have to start, and that's kind of where I see this thing going. And I think it's probably fascinating for Mike Vrabel too, when you think about all the success he's had as a coach here, when you think about what he accomplished last year with this roster and 91 players and all of that, I think he came out of last season feeling a little bit bulletproof. You know, I remember he made a comment at a press conference early in the off season where it was he sort of defiantly told us, you know, well, I'm going to be here for a while. And you know, I don't think anyone was ever doubting or challenging him on that front. But I think it sort of spoke to the sense he felt at that point. You know, then he got the contract extension. John Robinson got the contract extension. You thought, okay, this is the way things are going to be for a while. And now John Robinson is gone. That had to be eye-opening for Mike Vrabel. Then, you know, not being able to find answers here these last 5 weeks, it's probably a really interesting time for him as a head coach in terms of his process, because he has always been a guy who never thought he had all the answers when he came here. He was very self-analytical. You know, I thought he evolved very quickly and very well on the job, and this is going to force him probably to do some more things differently, much more so than he has probably done the last couple of years.
Well, David, you brought up Malik Willis, and I mean, you're exactly right. I think we could all agree that you've not seen a ton from him so far. Now, the whole picture with him, realizing that in a perfect world, he shouldn't have played this year if Ryan Tannehill was healthy and everything that goes into it, he's a third round pick. It's not like you drafted him fifth overall or anything like that. What do you make of what you have seen from Malik Willis and what it could mean for his future? Because we've heard from some Titans fans that are already totally out on Malik Willis so far today.
Yeah, with the exception of maybe this last game, I think you've seen a guy who learns very quickly. You can see marked improvement from game to game. You saw it in the preseason. You know, you saw him, he was better in Kansas City than he was against Houston. When he went in there against the Chargers, you know, looked comfortable, looked confident, and Mike Vrabel even said he thought he took a little step back in this game. But he is a guy who understands the process. You know, he talks about that quite a bit. That it's all about evolving and getting better every day. That sort of thing. He seems to. You get the sense it's not just lip service with him when he says that. He really buys into that. And that being said, this whole past off season and preseason and all that, you know, it was all about trying to get Malik Willis in position to be the number two quarterback. And so I think this whole next offseason and preseason and everything is going to be all about trying to get Malik Willis in position and ready to be the number one quarterback. I honestly don't think Mike Vrabel has ever gotten over what Kyler Murray did to this team in week one of last season. And I think Mike Vrabel came out of that game going, wow, you know, that is what this league is becoming. That is what quarterback position is going to be in this league. And we've got to get on board with that. And when you look at what Justin Fields has done this year, what Lamar Jackson continues to do and those sorts of things, I think there's, you know, Jalen Hurts, obviously in Philadelphia. It's either you're either going that way or you're going the Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert route. And I really think that it's not an accident that Malik Willis is here. You know, the Titans made the move to up a couple spots to draft him. I think when he was there at that spot, you know, that was where Mike Vrabel said, yes, I want a guy like that. I want this particular guy. Let's see what we can do with a quarterback like that going down the road here.
David Beauclair from SI.com with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, David, yeah, I mean, you've been around this team for a long time, obviously. And look, there have been times that have been way worse than what we've seen right now. I think back to the Ken Whisenhunt times. But just being in the locker room, how fragile do you think the mindset of this team is right now? Is that maybe overstepping it a little bit much? Where do you think this team is psychologically as they prepare for the final two games of this season on a 5-game losing streak?
Yeah, I wouldn't call them fragile. It's a high frustration level, guys. They want to. No one is saying, okay, well, this season's over. But they want to find a way to win. And you look at this 5-game losing streak, right? They've been in four of these games right at the end. And it's interesting when you talk about it's been against a terrible team like Houston. It's been against a really, really good team like Cincinnati. It's been against a team that's gotten on a roll at the right time like Jacksonville. It sort of doesn't matter the caliber of the opponent. It's the same things that are haunting the Titans right now. They've managed to keep the score down for the most part. And there's just one thing that happens, whether it's you give up the big completion to Mike Williams in Los Angeles, whether it's Derrick Henry fumbling the ball for the third week in a row. It's kind of just you hear it from players and coaches all the time. Oh, it's just two or three plays during the course of a game. If they were different, in this case, I think it's actually true. They just can't make that one play when they need to, or they make just that one mistake at exactly the wrong time. So I think that's part of the frustration. It's not that they feel like they're outmanned. It's not that they feel like they're out-schemed. It's that they feel like they just can't deliver in the moment the way we have seen this team deliver in those big moments the last couple of years, even earlier this season, right? They're sitting there looking at themselves, looking at each other, going, we have done this. We have done this repeatedly. Why can't we do it again right now? And that's what they have to sort out here. And I would assume this Dallas game is going to be a lot closer than a lot of people think, because that's the way this team does it. They manage to hang in there. And if they do rest a lot of guys, you know, that's going to make it harder to have somebody to make that play in the given moment. But that's what they're going to be looking for on Thursday night again, I would assume.
Well, David, to that point, so like you said, I mean, it's an interesting game coming up on Thursday from the standpoint of, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't really matter because we know it's going to come down to the Jacksonville game the week after that. But you have lost 5 games in a row. Like, how important is it to just try to get a win on Thursday? And how do you think the Titans handle this game from a rest standpoint? Like, do you think Derrick Henry plays? How do you think the Titans go about handling this one?
Yeah, it's funny. I keep going back and forth on this because, you know, there's precedent for this, right? We saw it in 2019 when the next to last week of the regular season, the Titans had a meaningless game in terms of their playoff chances, and Mike Vrabel rested a bunch of players, and then they go to Houston the next week and they win, and they get the last AFC wild card spot, and off they go and put together a nice playoff run there. So you would say, well, clearly that's what Mike Vrabel's going to do again this time. That worked for him. But the difference is, back then, 3 years ago, they had won 4 of 5 going into that game against New Orleans. They were playing good football. They had reasons to feel confident and relaxed about the idea of resting some people. You know, 5 losses in a row, can you afford to tell anybody, yeah, just take the night off. You know, you're good. We'll see you next week in Jacksonville and go play. I ultimately think that's probably what they're going to do. Maybe not as many guys, but I think Derrick Henry's a prime candidate to say, you know what, just sit down, take a rest, and we'll let the young guys handle it in this one. But it's I don't think it's as easy a decision this time as it was 3 years ago. Just because you have to do something right now to establish a winning, or at least try to establish a winning mindset going into that game against Jacksonville. I think at Houston 3 years ago, there was very much a sense of, we've got this thing. We're rolling. Yeah, we took the week off. That's good for us. And I don't know that it's the same thing this time.
David, last thing for you here. You came out with a really interesting piece last night on SI.com about a winning formula for the Titans in the past that was almost automatic over the course of the past 2-3 years that really has not been the case so far this year. You know, without giving the whole article away, just kind of tell our listeners what you come out with on SI.com last night.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The one thing you could count on with this team, right, was that if Derrick Henry rushed for 100 yards, they were going to win and are almost certainly going to win. And that's kind of what I go back to, the formula for this team and the things that have worked for them in the past. This is one of those things that all of a sudden it's not working. The last 3 games and the last 4 times overall that he has rushed for 100 plus yards, they have lost. It started with the Kansas City game, and before that Kansas City game, they were 26-3 when he rushed for 100 yards or more. And now all of a sudden, he's lost more games. They've lost more games with him rushing for 100 yards than in the last month and a half here than they did in the whole 6-plus seasons with him before that. It's one of those things that has to have the coaches just banging their heads against the wall right now, saying, this is the one thing we could always count on, and they can't even do that right now. So that might be one of the reasons you say, okay, Derrick Henry, you take a rest, because even that's not working for us right now. So let's just get you in particular in the best shape possible and see if maybe we can get back to that in week 18.
Well, David, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. Happy New Year, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, Robbie. Same to you.
Absolutely. David Beauclair from SI.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More of that coming up next. Preds fans hang out before the Preds games at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville, on Broadway with 1025-1063 The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Dallas Stars. We'll have more on that coming up a little bit later in the show. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Back in Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Make sure you play silly underdog picks today. Pick 3 football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. You can play now at thegamenashville.com or the Game Nashville app. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Robbie Stanley alongside Kenny Adams. Joe Rexroth down in Miami in advance of Tennessee taking on Clemson in the Orange Bowl coming up later this week. He'll be back on the show at 8 o'clock. We'll get a Vols update from him, some media availability going on down there right now as we speak in Miami. So looking forward to that coming up on in just a few minutes with Rexroth back on the program. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Got a texter on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says, why wasn't there a veteran quarterback backup on the roster? You say Malik wasn't supposed to play this year, then the organization should have been better prepared if Tannehill got injured. And that's, number one, a really good question, a good point. And we brought that up kind of when the decision was made. You know, this is not really new information from Malik Willis not supposed to be playing this year and not being ready to play. Why did you not have a better veteran option? And that goes back to maybe some decisions that John Robinson made. That is a part of why he's not here any longer. But I mean, the bottom line is we also knew that if Tannehill got hurt, you were probably in some serious trouble. If you were the Titans this year, the way that things have played out in the division, you can make a case where if you had a quarterback, maybe with a little bit more experience, maybe you win the Kansas City game, maybe you win on Saturday against Houston, and maybe you're in a different spot in terms of where you're sitting in the standings right now. I don't know. We can play the what-if game all day, but it's certainly, I think, a fair question of why was there not maybe more a veteran, experienced-type quarterback to be the backup, and Malik Willis could basically have the redshirt year that we thought he might have. I mean, it's, you can play revisionist history now, but I think that's a great question that's brought up on the text line. You know, one thing that David brought up in the last segment that I'm really interested to see this week, you know, on paper, this is a game Thursday that means nothing for the Titans. We know that it's going to be the Titans and the Jags in the division, and the winner of that game is going to win the AFC South coming up next Sunday. So we know that's going to be the case. But you have lost five games in a row. The fan base right now, I think, is equal parts frustrated and in some cases just ready for the season to be over so that they can see what the plan is for the Titans as they move forward here. Very little Titans fans that I've seen are excited about the idea of winning the division and getting to the playoffs and then in their minds getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs. So I get it. I understand all that. But for Vrabel, I mean, you've got a job to do. You've got a team to coach. And for this game coming up on Thursday against Dallas, we've talked about it. The Cowboys technically still have things to play for. I mean, they have their division in front of them. They're probably going to end up being the five seed when things are all said and done. So we'll see how they approach the game from a strategy standpoint on Thursday. But they've got things to play for. The idea right now of Micah Parsons rushing the quarterback and lining up where Dennis Daly lines up should be a terrifying thought. It's a terrifying thought to me right now. I'm sure it is for most Titans fans thinking about it. But what's your mindset in this game if you're the Titans? I do think you'll see some players that are maybe on the fringe health-wise either be limited in this game or not play at all in this game because ultimately the result doesn't matter. But from a psychological standpoint, you've lost five in a row. Do you really want to be on a six-game losing streak at 7-9 heading into that last game against Jacksonville? I don't know. I mean, I agree with David. It's a much tougher decision than it was the last time. I think back to that Saints game where you knew that it was going to come down to the Houston game the week after. And basically the Titans rested Derrick Henry. He had a hamstring issue that was cropping up in that game. It was a pretty easy decision that Saints game a few years ago didn't mean a whole lot. And then the Titans got Derrick Henry healthy. And he ran for about 220 yards, and the rest was history after that. This is a little bit of a different situation coming in with the momentum being what it is. And also, like quarterback-wise, are you going with Malik Willis again Thursday and then preparing for him to be your starter in that final game against Jacksonville? Or do you give Josh Dobbs an opportunity? I said this earlier in the show. Like, I'm under no illusion that Josh Dobbs is going to be like a starting level NFL quarterback. I just don't think he is. I think he can be a good backup. I think when he's on, he can make some plays, both throwing the football and running the football as well. But we've talked about it with Josh Dobbs. I mean, he had accuracy issues at Tennessee, and being a consistent high-level passer in the NFL requires you to be insanely accurate. And I just don't know that Josh Dobbs is there. But the question that you've got to ask yourself, if you're Vrabel, Todd Downing, and this staff moving forward, who gives you a better chance to win the Jacksonville game? Is it Malik Willis or is it Josh Dobbs? Now, they may determine that it is Malik Willis. I don't know. I mean, Josh Dobbs, you look through the history of his career, it feels like he's been in the NFL forever. He hadn't played a whole lot. I mean, he played behind Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. He's barely been on the field. I mean, heading into the last game before Malik Willis played on Saturday, he had already completed as many passes as Josh Dobbs had attempted in his career. So it's not like there's a ton of playing experience there with Josh Dobbs at the NFL level. Who gives you the best opportunity to win the Jacksonville game? It's one of those things that I don't know the answer. If I had to guess right now, I'd probably lean Josh Dobbs. I just think operationally, he gives you a better chance to actually have a passing game in this matchup against Jacksonville. Do you give him the game on Thursday against Dallas maybe to get ready? Potentially. I mean, you're still talking about by the time you kick the ball off on Thursday, Josh Dobbs will have been here just over a week at that point. Is that enough time for him to be ready, to have the entire playbook ready to go, you know, to be able to understand the game plan, implement that? Maybe. Maybe it is enough time. But I do think it's enough time by the time the Jacksonville game rolls around. Is that the way they go? Or is this going to be completely the Malik Willis show as the Titans come along here? I don't know what the answer is. I would probably lean towards starting Josh Dobbs in that last game, unless Malik Willis shows a lot of improvement this week against Dallas. I still think the likelihood is Malik Willis will be the starting quarterback on Thursday against Dallas, and then you can make your decision from there. But I'm really interested to see how the Titans handle that. And, you know, David Beauclair brought it up in the last segment. Lots of frustration in that locker room right now. You can see it all over Kevin Byard's face in the postgame interview on Saturday. You could see it on guys like Jeffrey Simmons. How could you not be frustrated with the way that things have gone lately for the Titans on a 5-game losing streak? How can you rally yourself? This is a big test of the culture that we talk about all the time with Mike Vrabel. Can you rally yourself for that Jacksonville game and win a game? Win one game to send yourself to the playoffs, to win the third consecutive division. Right now, it's hard for me to get there based on what I've seen the last 5-6 weeks from this team, but all it takes is one game. We'll see if the Titans can rally themselves to that point. Coming up next, Joe Rexroad will be back on the program. We'll get his thoughts on the Tennessee Vols as they prepare to take on Clemson coming up on Friday in the Orange Bowl. Take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.